This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Good morning, and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. We thought we'd play a little bit of military music for you because it's President's Day today. Most of us don't even think about that. But it's Monday, February the 17th, and along with my buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis, we welcome you to Freedom Works. Indeed, we will be talking in a few minutes with Gregory Conco of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And we're going to talk about how federally mandated price disclosure rules. You know, you got to come out and tell everybody how much this costs for a pharmaceutical, how they will not make drug prices go down, how they will not make them go down. So stay tuned for that. And why are all these former Department of Justice workers asking Attorney General Bill Barr to resign? What is going on with that? We're going to discuss the real reasons behind all of that. And the president of Iran says Donald Trump's maximum pressure policy right now is failing. And he says the president, meaning Trump, won't do anything right now because he wants to get reelected. We'll talk about that with the proprietor of mainstream America's most trusted poll, the Barber Poll, Andrew Cerasi. So I know you will want to stay tuned for that. And in our ultimate top 10, listen to this, the top 10 craziest things that are seized at the Mexican border. Wait till you hear some of the things they found. Wait till you hear them. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by the best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. It's located in the Overcash Plaza, which is on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. Got to get over there. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, and you'll get the best haircut at the best price in Tampa Bay. Also, if you can't hear our show live, you can always hear it at your leisure by going to OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. You'll find out also who's the upcoming guests, and Big Ed sets up all of our shows on podcast. So go back and listen to the show of your choice, OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, Ed, I guess, I don't know what happened at Daytona 500, but it was pretty exciting. Donald Trump shows up, and you know every fan there is a Trump supporter. I mean, if I could pick one venue that to go to, if I was Donald Trump, where I know I would get a huge round of applause, it would be the Daytona 500, right?
Back up a minute there. Did you say Andrew's calling in today because it's Monday?
Oh, did I say that?
Yes, you did.
I'm all mixed up. Andrew will not be calling in today. Thanks for telling me. Andrew is probably out sleeping right now.
Well, it's President's Day, but he's off on Monday. Anyway.
He's off on Monday, and I forgot about it.
I was surprised how empty the roads were this morning. I went out to get coffee earlier.
You know, you're right about that on the way into the station. Right about that.
Banks and government are closed, but school's out too, I believe.
That's probably correct.
Okay.
Andrew's out.
Yeah, well, he's always out on Monday.
And see, now I got all mixed up because it's President's Day, and you made me mixed up.
But yeah, the flyover was pretty neat because I guess when you're Air Force One, you can do anything you want because the Daytona Airport's right next to the track. So you see Air Force One going diagonally, not along parallel with the track, the runway, flies right over the stands, right 800 feet off the deck.
That's pretty impressive, isn't it?
So,
pretty impressive. And then he gets in his car, that huge armored car, and he goes driving around. I think his wife was with him too. And they go driving around the track. That was kind of exciting, wasn't it? I'll bet the fans loved that.
He said he always wanted to Well, I guess as long as you're president, you're not allowed to drive a car.
But that's true.
He wanted to drive the track, so the next best thing is they brought the whole entourage out there and did about a quarter of a lap, something like that.
I bet he wanted to drive his own car. And he's not
He wanted to get into a race car.
Now, that would be something. Get the helmet on and go about 210 miles an hour. That would be fun.
With no helmet. If you know that hair is going on, can you imagine with... I mean,
this is this orange fire.
Yeah,
it would be like an orange thing.
You'd see an orange trail of hair.
Of hair
instead
going
of fire,
by. Yeah.
It's hair. Just
orange hair.
It's probably touching the track on the way around. You know?
Absolutely. Wow, that would be a sight.
But I tell you, those people loved it there. You know, they loved the flyover.
Yeah, it's amazing because they are Americana. I mean, if you want to talk about the spirit of conservative, mainstream American kind of people, you can go to the Daytona 500 because they, you know, they're American flag wavers. They're
right.
Big time military
mm-hmm.
supporters. They just are. That's the way they are. I mean, that's it. Anyway. We're not going to have Andrew talk to us about it, so I'll talk to you about it. I'll talk to Ed about it.
Well, and his brother will call in, too.
What's that? Oh, and his brother, Angelo.
Yeah,
well, I'll
Angelo
talk to Angelo about it. What the heck? Angelo will call us. You know, he's our eyes in the northern sky. He'll tell us what's going on. And by the way, we got a lot to talk about regarding Michael Bloomberg today. Michael Bloomberg, if you think that Joe Biden was putting his foot in his mouth with all these things he had said in the past. Wait till you hear what Michael Bloomberg has said.
I understand he opened up a campaign office here in the Tampa area.
Did he really?
Yeah, so I will probably go over there with a supersized big gulp, stand right in front of his door, and just stand there and drink it all day.
Yeah, well, you ought to
drive him crazy.
You ought to go over there and steal some of his brochures and stuff, and then we'll talk about it. Yeah. Right in downtown Tampa, huh? That's interesting.
Somewhere in the Bay Area here.
Listen, he's going to do this whole thing by remote control. Now, there is a debate coming up again with the Democrats. And if he garners enough, support with the polling that they do, he will be on stage. I think it'll be very interesting because I think every other Democrat on that stage is going to attack him. I mean, he will be the focus, not Biden.
Mm.
Biden will not be the focus. I'm sure it'll be him. So we got a lot to talk about when it comes to him. And now I guess Bloomberg is also... first it was putting black youth up against the wall and do a stop and frisk. And now it's farmers that they don't know that it's real simple to do farmers. So we'll talk a little bit about that. We're going to take our break right now. Because what we do want to talk about on the other side of the break is how price disclosure on drugs will not actually help lower the cost. So stay tuned for that.
Pearly white, just a jackknife, has old Maggie Heath, baby.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshoo.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday morning, President's Day. I'm delighted to have Gregory Conco join us from the Competitive Enterprise Institute, where Greg is a senior fellow, and his research focuses there on healthcare, food, and drug regulation, among many other things. So he's very appropriately the guy to talk with about this Health and Human Services price disclosure rule. Greg, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thank you very much. I appreciate being on the show.
It's our pleasure. Now, during his State of the Union, as you so rightly described in your piece on the Competitive Enterprise Institute website, Trump had talked about requiring drug companies and hospitals and insurance firms to disclose prices, with the idea that by doing so, somehow the prices will go down. But you say, unfortunately, while transparency in pricing would be helpful, the mandate Trump wants to do would do nothing to help consumers. Do you mind explaining that a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. And so this is part of a bigger initiative that the Trump administration has been had in place since the beginning of the term. And you know, your listeners know, one of the most frustrating things about the American healthcare system is its lack of transparency. You go to the doctor, you go to the hospital, you go to get a prescription filled at the pharmacy, and you rarely know what anything costs or what it's going to cost until after you've gotten the service and it's time to pay, right?
Yeah.
So this is where this initiative comes from, and it covers, as I said, hospitals, insurance companies, pharmaceuticals. And the one that was talking about in that article you wrote was the pharmaceutical price disclosure rule, right? The idea is you require drug companies, when they're advertising medicines to the public, like those TV commercials we've all seen, to include what's called the list price or the average wholesale price for a 30-day supply of the drug. And the idea is, more information, more pricing information, especially, is going to cause people to comparison shop and try to find the lowest prices, and it's going to cause drug makers to compete on price. The problem is the average wholesale price, right? It's right there in the name, the average wholesale price. It's not what the price that patients pay when they get their prescription filled at the pharmacy. It's not even the price that pharmacies pay to the drug companies when they buy drugs wholesale.
Okay. So
it's a little bit like the sticker price of a car, right? It's the starting point for negotiations. The drug companies say, here's what we want for the drug. And then when they negotiate with wholesalers and pharmacies, they haggle over the prices, their rebates, their price discounts. And they end up with what pharmacies and other wholesalers pay is generally much lower than the list price. And then the pharmacies set their own prices to patients, right?
Right.
So when a patient shows up and gets a prescription filled, the patient pays something else entirely. So what you're giving patients in this rule is information that is completely unrelated. I shouldn't say completely unrelated, but only very loosely related to what patients are actually being asked to pay. That's why it's not going to do any good. I'm for transparency. And some of the initiatives that the Trump administration is pushing are likely to be quite good. Some of them, jury's still out. But this one doesn't make any sense because it's disclosing something that has little relation to what consumers can actually act on.
Yes, I think you make a very good point. You really do on this. And I'm just wondering if there's any way that, say, a person walks into his local pharmacy, could the state require that drug company post its prices, or would that be something that would be like a freedom of speech issue? In other words, you can't tell me what I can do and not do when it comes to prices.
Well, generally, the states get a lot of leniency when it's requiring commercial businesses to provide information to consumers. So it's possible that a state government, even maybe the federal government, could get away requiring pharmacies to post their prices. But I think what you're going to find is there actually are often ways to figure that out. Right, you can go on if you're covered by a health insurance plan that gives pharmacy benefits. Even Medicare and Medicaid have pharmacy benefits, depending on the program that you're in. You can often go to those websites, or you can go to the pharmacy's website and look up what the drug is going to cost you.
Mm-hmm.
This is all complicated by the fact that some plans have deductibles that patients have to meet before the benefits kick in. Some have first dollar payment, their co-pays and other cost sharing. So from patient to patient, the price for a pharmaceutical drug, even at a single pharmacy, is likely to be often quite different.
Right. We're talking with Gregory Conco. As you can tell, he knows what he's talking about. He's a senior fellow at the Great Competitive Enterprise Institute. He's penned a piece for the for CEI, HHS price disclosure rule will not make medicines more affordable. So, Greg, here on our show, we talk a lot about government involvement in healthcare has only been increasing the cost of our healthcare ever since the Great Society, and the attempts to try to make healthcare lower and more accessible. We've actually, I think, gone in the opposite direction. And if we would get the government's fingers out, we'd actually have more accessible and cheaper health care. I just want to get your overall thought about that idea.
Well, no doubt that's true, but a big part of the reason why this is a problem is because government distorts, right? There's no connection really between the patients who are actually getting the benefits and the people who are paying directly, right? Well, you're covered under an insurance plan. It's the insurance plan. Most of 84% of people who are covered under a private insurance plan, the premiums are paid through their employer, right? There may be an employee contribution, but it's paid through by the employer. And that's a result of government meddling in the health insurance business. If you get Medicare or Medicaid, right, the taxpayers are paying for the benefits. So the people who are getting the services don't feel the pinch directly of the cost of the healthcare services. So that's actually one of the reasons why there's so little transparency in pricing, is because the people who have the information about prices aren't giving it to patients, because most patients can't respond to this pricing,
right?
Because they're insulated from the true cost. If you look though at buckets of the health insurance business, where patients do pay directly and pay 100%. Look at laser eye surgery, right? If you wanted laser eye surgery, you could go on Google. You could find dozens of doctors in the Tampa area that are advertising their services and tell you right there on the website, this is what we're going to charge you, right? And that's because patients are paying out of pocket. And there's a great deal of price competition among those providers to keep prices down. It's when government gets involved to shield patients from the true cost of what they're getting that transparency goes away, and there's no more incentive to do comparison shopping. There's no more incentive for the producers to compete on the basis of price, because they're competing on the basis of something else. Why? Because the patient isn't the payer. Somebody else is.
Right. I mean, this is making, I think, our point here, that when the government gets more and more involved, you lose track. You kind of feel helpless as a patient. You go into a doctor's office, say for a physical exam, and they run all these tests, and they do a drug test. I mean, they do a blood test and all of those things, and you have no idea what it really cost. None. You have a copay, perhaps, or whatever it is. The rest is borne out by the insurance company kind of negotiating you know, with the doctor's company or something, you know, to get a statement at the end of the month. Okay, your doctor actually charged $150 for your physical exam visit, but we covered and told him that we will only pay $85 and that you'll only pay $20. You know what I mean? So they've negotiated all of that stuff around, and it's lost in the bureaucracy. But you know, way back, and I'm old enough to actually remember when doctors would go to the house. When I was a little boy, we actually had a doctor with a little black leather bag. I am not kidding. He would come in. I had a big family. So, like, if one of us caught, say, the flu or something, the rest of us got it. And he'd come in, you know, take care of us. And back then, it was a simple deal. And he would hand a bill to to my dad. Boy, those days are long gone. And the government was very, you know, there was so much less government involvement at that time.
Yeah, government involvement in the health industry really spiked around the late 1960s with the
65
of Medicare and Medicaid.
Yeah, the Great Society.
And,
Great Society.
You know, and everybody hates health insurance companies. They're not responsive. It's tough to get information from them. Why is that? Because you, the patient, are not the health insurance company's customer, right? Most people get private health insurance through their employer. The employer is the health insurer's customer, not you. And the reason for that is because government has these tax preferences that make it much easier for employers to provide health insurance as a benefit than for you as an individual to get health insurance.
But didn't that
on the market?
Yes, Greg. But didn't that start after World War II? That employers, because they were looking for, you know, as the guys were coming back and they were filling up their jobs again, they were looking.
But actually, it started during World War II.
It did start during World War II.
The government imposed wage controls, right? So because you've millions of Americans are in the service in the military, so there are fewer people back in the home front competing for more jobs, and they're competing wages up. So the government froze wages, and the only way for businesses to compete was to offer other things, right?
Gotcha.
They offer health insurance. They offer other fringe benefits. And the government decided, well, we're going to let them, the businesses, take a tax break for that. We're not going to tax them or the employees on the value of that compensation. But if you're going to buy health insurance on the individual market, you have to pay with it with taxed income, right? So there's a distinct preference for employer purchase health insurance that comes directly from a government decision.
Wow. So the government's been the culprit all along, all the way back.
Yeah,
so,
and all of these things that we've seen from the 1940s, Medicare, Medicaid, the programs in the 1990s, and then the Affordable Care Act and the Obamacare program, right? All of that, it's efforts repeatedly to correct a previous problem that was created by some government program.
Wow. Great history lesson. And this price disclosure rule, is that currently the law, or is that something that is they in other words, is it actually going to occur? Are they going to pass something like
this? So the Department of Health and Human Services tried to do it through regulation. It was challenged in court, and the court said, "Oh, you don't have the authority to do that." The statute that gives the Department of Health and Human Services the power to do what it does doesn't say anything about this, so you can't do it. So what Trump was saying in his State of the Union address, he was encouraging Congress to pass legislation to give the Department of Health and Human Services that power. And right now, because the main bills that are introduced in Congress that would do that are bipartisan, right? In an election year, even Republican members of Congress don't want to seem like they're cozying up to insurance companies or the pharmaceutical industry, right? So it's entirely possible that something like this would be passed in Congress, and if it gets to the president's desk, the president has said that he would sign it. I think it's misguided, again, because it doesn't get at the root of the problem. It provides information that people can't actually act on. What we really need to do, and the reason this is a problem, is it masks the real solution, and that is to put more purchasing power in the hands of consumers so that it's more like that situation I mentioned with laser eye surgery, right? Mm-hmm. When consumers are in charge of directing their healthcare spending, then you will have more of an incentive for providers, for hospitals, pharmacies, for drug companies to actually advertise on the basis of price and to try to attract more consumers.
Yeah, and LASIK eye surgery, for instance, is not usually covered, so it's kind of free of all the regulations. I'm just thinking, if you put these regulations about drug pricing on these drug companies, it's actually going to cost them more. It's a paperwork issue, and it's they got to figure out what the prices are. Then they got to provide the information. All of that costs money.
That's exactly right. And now it's not going to be hugely expensive.
No,
right. I'm not suggesting.
But
that.
It's one more thing. But, it's one more straw on the camel's back, isn't it?
That's exactly right. It's an expense that then is going to eat into the time that the companies are trying to advertise. So they're going to spend more on advertising, right? And in the end is going to be passed on to consumers, right? Higher costs for regulated industry are almost always paid not by the industry but by their customers.
Of course. Absolutely. Greg, great discussion. Really appreciate your being with us on this, and all the best to you.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Our pleasure. Greg Hocko of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. All right. We are going to take our little break. And our buddy from the north, our eye in the northern sky, Angelo, we're going to talk a little bit with him about why are all these Department of Justice workers asking Attorney General Bill Barr to quit?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network, and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time, sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why not you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, bowling stars old and new. Let's Go Bowling Show, GoBowlingShow.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on President's Day, and I can't think of a better person to talk with on President's Day than our eye in the northern sky, Angelo Ceresi. And Angelo, yesterday, over 1,000 former Justice Department people, workers, signed a public letter urging the Attorney General, William Barr, to quit over his handling of the Roger Stone situation. And I was thinking, it's very interesting that they went after Roger Stone with pitchforks, took him out of his house, I think, in the middle of the night, as if he were a murder suspect. And yet, this guy, Andrew McCabe, former deputy FBI director, gets off scot-free. Have you been following any of that?
And Paul, we also have a mystery guest.
I wonder why these 1,000 people haven't said that Mr. McCabe should go to jail.
Exactly.
It's ironic, isn't it? I mean, here's a guy, McCabe, that broke the law, and we all know that, right? And then the attorney general says, okay, we won't prosecute. I'm sure McCabe must have talked. And I think, didn't he go on 60 Minutes or something and said that there was really a coup against the president?
I don't recall that you're talking about Andrew McCabe. I'm not sure if you said that, but it sure sounds like he's being covered okay. And why these 1,100 Justice Department employees get all excited about Barr's urging a lighter sentence for Roger Stone? Roger Stone, why should he get 7 to 9 years? I'll bet you most people can't even tell you what he did wrong.
Right. And why don't they complain about that? That's what I don't understand.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'll tell you why, actually. Because all 1,100 of them are Democrats.
Oh, absolutely.
That's why.
Absolutely.
Hey, by the way, I got a surprise for you and for me.
What's that?
We got the Master Barber, your brother, Andrew, with us. Andrew, what are you doing calling in on a Monday?
Well, Paul, you know, I was listening to you guys on there, and I said, you know, I got the time. I'm going to call in and give him my piece on what's happening.
You know,
I put his 2 cents in now.
Yeah, well, you know, actually this morning when I billboarded what was going to occur in the show, I forgot that Andrew was not scheduled, and I said he was going to be on. So maybe somehow I was a psychic.
Hey, there you
well,
go.
Well, you were the psychic, no question. Listen, tell me Trump wasn't the day yesterday at the Daytona 500, Paul.
We were going to talk about that. In fact, we brought it up this morning a little bit earlier. First of all, and Ed was talking about the fact that not only did he get in his car and tootle around the track, but they had a flyover. Did you know about that?
Of course. Paul, the guy is a master at what he does. He knew that there's going to be the patriotic people of the country at NASCAR. Let's be real. Okay, God, country, and America. That's it. An apple pie, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And when he did that flyover with Air Force One, these people had goosebumps, okay? And let me tell you something. It ended up being rained out. Trump had 200,000 people at a rally yesterday, and it didn't cost him a dime. Well, wait a second. The Democrats are complaining. It was under tax dollars, you know. But that's a lot less than $40 million on a phony impeachment trial, right?
Well, they're going to complain about the gas he used to go around the track. You know that.
Angelo,
did you watch any of that?
Oh, yes, I did. I watched most of it, yes.
So you get a kick out of it?
I saw when the Thunderbirds were taking off on the runway and flying over, you know, being an Air Force guy myself, you know?
Yeah. You must have felt pretty good about it.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, now I want to ask both of you guys, Michael Bloomberg, and you both are from New York State, Michael Bloomberg is getting into a whole bunch of trouble with things he had said before. And I'm going to start with Andrew on this. Andrew, a new story about this. I'm going to read real briefly. Bloomberg appeared to belittle farmers and factory workers. They found comments coming 4 years ago from him. And he basically said this. Well, this is what he said. Quote, the agrarian society lasted 3,000 years. And we could teach processes. I could teach anybody, even people in this room, no offense intended, to be a farmer. It's a process. You dig a hole, you put a seed in it, you put dirt on top, add water, up comes the corn. You can.
Paul, I think he's digging his own hole, buddy. They're going to put him in it. But it won't have to be that deep, you know. He's only 5 feet tall.
Oh, my goodness. What was he thinking?
Paul, he doesn't think. This guy's going nowhere. Listen, they're talking now that he wants to get Hillary as his vice president.
That's the other thing.
What's he going to do? Quit in 3 months? He's going to quit or get suicided, one of the two, because you know her dream.
Okay, Angelo, so what is Bloomberg doing? You're up there in New York. Is he making it any better now? He's actually, apparently, because of all the commercials, rising in the polls. They've got a debate coming up. I think it's towards the end of this week. I got to check the Democrats.
They changed the rules just for him.
Do you think he's going to be on stage? Do you think he'll show up?
If he's spending all that money, I don't see why he wouldn't.
Yeah.
Because he knows he's going to get hammered. Are you kidding me? They're going to try and tear him up with all his money and a billionaire being president. This guy don't know what's going on.
The Democrats complain about the millionaires and the billionaires, right? And now
what's he complaining about? Bernie's one of the top 1%.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, I'm going to ask each of you about this. Joe Biden is sliding down the rail here. I mean, unless he comes, unless Jolton Joe Biden comes in first in South Carolina, I think he packs up. I mean, if he comes in second, maybe he can get away with it. But after that, if he's not doing really, really well in South Carolina, I think the trip is over. But I think these Democrats, even more than Republicans, are going to go after Mike Bloomberg because they fear him. So, Angelo, do you agree that if we watched that debate and Bloomberg was on stage, if they could find him behind the dais, because he's very short, if they could find him, do you think he'd be the main guy they would attack?
Oh, I think so. You know, Bernie Sanders is going to go after him because he's complaining the most about the DNC changing their rules.
The committee, the Democratic National Committee. So, Andrew, do you think that Michael Bloomberg has a chance to be the Democrats' presidential nominee?
Paul, let me tell you what's going to happen.
Okay, let me write it down.
If he becomes the Democratic nominee, and then Bernie Sanders is ahead of everybody now, I believe.
He is.
If I'm not mistaken.
Maybe
okay?
by one delegate or so.
It doesn't matter. It don't matter. If Bernie is ahead and he's winning, and they put Bloomberg in there, now let's face the facts. These millennials are the most spiteful, vindictive little people we've ever had in this country.
Oh, you don't
now
like
what, them. What do you think they're going to do if the Democratic Party screws Bernie out of his nomination and puts Bloomberg in there because of his money? I can tell you what's going to happen. As spiteful as they are, you know what they're going to do?
What?
They're going to go vote for Trump. They're going to say, we're going to fix these people. They didn't put our nominee in there. This is who we want. They're screwing Bernie again. We're voting for Trump.
Yeah, that's
you mark my words.
That's an interesting scenario. You agree with that, Angelo?
Well, yeah. I think that Bernie's got his people, and they're hoping that he gets the nomination this time, you know. And I just, you know.
He's on his way to get it.
Hey, by the way, speaking about Bernie, I got to get this from both of you. Did you know a bunch of topless women ran into one of his campaign dealies? They were, I forget what they were. Oh, they were protesting dairy products. That's it. I am not kidding.
Get out of here. I didn't hear.
No. That's true. Absolutely true. Ed, did you read about that, about the topless women? Yeah.
I hate when that happens.
I know. And the funny thing was, I saw a picture of it. I did. And Bernie left the stage because the woman, one of them, commandeered the mic.
And Bernie got nervous.
And Bernie left. And then he came back. And, you know, I don't think he's got what you would call a quick or a great sense of humor, although he probably has some sense of humor. And so he came back a few minutes later when they cleared out the women. But Bernie's got, you know what? Actually, that was great attention, I think. What do you guys think about Bernie's chances, though? Do you think he's going to be swept away because the DNC will not allow, even if he's got clearly the majority, they will not allow? They're going to try and figure out a way to screw him again. What do you think, Angelo?
I think they're going to try, but I think he's got the people this time. And I just don't understand why they want a communist, you know, in our to run our country.
I know.
They don't. That's why they want him out of there. He's not a middle of the road, but he's got the people behind him. And this is where the youth is heading. They love socialism. Well, they want to be babysat.
Here's the thing. They never grew up like we did, knowing how communism can be.
Right.
They don't teach it in the schools, you know. There's no more teaching of how there was the Eastern Bloc.
It's not teaching no more. It's brainwashing them.
They don't teach communism anymore.
When I was a kid, the teachers in our school would talk about how there was a chance that a nuclear war could occur and that we would have to go and be, you know, put in certain places or getting under your desks.
Lining up against the wall in the hall.
And when you're like 6 years old and you're hearing that and 7 years old, so you're right. You had a healthy fear.
Right. They don't teach it anymore today. There is no more communism except for Cuba, Venezuela, China. You know, and that's about it.
Yeah.
And Paul, I remember growing up when they were building bomb shelters.
Exactly right.
And they had the guy across the street from us when we were kids.
Right.
He was going to build a bomb shelter down in his basement.
Okay. Now, there's good news for Bloomberg. This is going to cinch it for him. Hillary Clinton is available to be his vice president. Andrew, I want to know, is that going to be a guaranteed victory for Bloomberg?
Well, I heard that they dropped his health insurance when they nominated him. When he said he wants Hillary Clinton, and they're afraid he's going to have a heart attack or he's going to be shot a couple times, committing suicide, you know.
Yeah.
Well, it's a joke.
I don't even think he would make her. I'm almost convinced that this is nonsense. He's just saying.
I don't think he's going to get the nomination.
Just saying that.
The whole thing is nonsense. The whole Democrat Party is nonsense.
So
here's the thing. You know, our goofy governor Cuomo. You know, my motto is no mo Cuomo.
No mo Cuomo. Oh yes, that sounds pretty good. I like it.
Here's the thing on this scenario. The reason why Cuomo never threw his head into the ring to run for president is because he knows that the Democrats are not going to win. This guy's only, you know, he's going to wait for the next cycle to throw his hat into the ring, because that's why he goes to Puerto Rico. He does this, he does that. He's trying to, you know, line up people so that he can run at the next presidential mm-hmm. cycle. He knows the Democrats are not going to win. Mm-hmm. Bernie Sanders is not going to win, because I do not believe that the American people will put in a communist as president. I do not believe they're going to put in Buttigieg.
Neither do the Democratic National Party people believe that the American people will vote him in. That's why.
No, they're not.
That's why they're trying to get rid of him, right?
Why this whole thing about impeachment and this and that, they're trying to do all this stuff to make Trump look really, really bad.
I think they're praying that he has another heart attack. In fact, they may induce a heart attack on Bernie Sanders. That's what I think.
Well, we'll know. Hillary will.
Huh?
Hillary will do that.
Well, Hillary will, of course. That'll be a natural heart attack, now that I think about it. Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure to have both of you. What a double treat we had this morning. Thank you,
Angelo. Two for the price of one.
Two for the price of one. And I want to especially thank Angelo because of, you know, his Monday participation has really made things interesting. And Andrew, we will talk with you again on Wednesday. Will we not?
You got it, buddy. We'll be ready to go with all the new news across the nation.
There you go.
All right, buddy. Be good.
The Ceresi.
Bye. Take care.
Thank you. Thank you, Angelo. Thank you, Andrew. The Ceresi brothers. There they are. Okay. All right. Hey, tough enough having one of them to talk with. And I have to deal with both of them. You know how when you're on radio and you got more than two people talking, you got to be very careful because it starts sounding like a circus. And, you know, people that are listening on the radio, they don't know for sure who's talking.
I know. And I just looked up that Bernie Sanders topless thing.
Oh, yeah. See?
That's a riot.
Wasn't that funny?
That is a riot. It says that Sanders in a rally in Carson City just finished introducing his wife as the next first lady when a woman came up to the podium, tried to grab Sanders' mic. A visibly irritated Sanders yanked the mic away. The woman then grabbed the other mic on the podium, and she shouted out, "Bernie, I'm your biggest supporter. I'm here to ask you to stop propping up the dairy industry and to stop propping up animal agriculture. I believe in you," the woman said before her mic was cut. Sanders exited the stage as a chaotic scene unfolded. I guess the other 38 people were upset that were in the room.
Several
other women, at least two of whom were topless, joined the first woman on stage and threw various liquids on the stage. See, now I would have just grabbed a seat and a cigar and sat down and enjoyed the
show. Exactly right. That would
not get upset, you know.
And if it were Trump, do you think he would have left the podium? I don't think so. I don't think so.
Okay, who ordered the bachelor party?
So, actually, I think that would become good, you know, again, good press for Bernie.
Loosen him up. But he should have taken his tie and his jacket off.
You know? I haven't heard the mainstream media talk about it. I'm beginning to think they really do not want Bernie Sanders to be the nominee. I mean, I really think there's some intrigue going on in the whole Democratic Party. Very, very... Very, very interesting. Hey, we better take a quick break here, Ed, because we got to come back.
Yep.
And I'm going to talk with Ed about the Lightning for a couple minutes, and then we'll go right to our top 10.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio, heard every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food & Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all...
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment. The final segment of Freedom Works. We're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. And we thank you so very much for being with us. Before we do our top 10, which is a good one, I wanted to ask Big Ed, he's our sports expert, about the Lightning, our Tampa Bay hockey club. I believe, Ed, they've won 10 in a row. They are, I think, 3 or 4 points out of being having the best record in the NHL. Only Boston is 3 points higher than them. So Boston's really playing great, too. What's going on? Why did the Lightning... What has changed that made the Lightning all of a sudden almost invincible?
I think they're just playing well together, finally. And and injuries have not been a part of it. And no major trades, splitting up anybody, you know, or bringing somebody out from the outside in. I heard some interviews with Phil Esposito that they should stand put and not have to trade anybody. It's rare that a team does that, especially as you start getting ready for the playoffs.
Right. By the way, this is an interesting statistic. There are only two teams that have more than 80 points in the entire NHL, and that's Boston and Tampa Bay. After that, everybody's in the 70s or 60s or 50s. So it's like those two are running away with the NHL right now.
Well, we ran away with it last year too. Yeah. So we're all
got to worry about
it's
that.
It's not that big hype on the street yet, you know, because everybody's saying the same thing. We were in this position last year.
Let's not get too excited, right?
Let's get to the playoffs and get through the playoffs. And then we'll get excited.
Right. And also, real quickly, baseball pitchers now are coming.
Everybody's reported today.
Everybody today is. So this is the first official everybody report.
Yeah, everybody reports today.
Are we excited about the Rays this year, the Tampa Bay Rays?
Yeah, and you know, the everybody's excited about that, and everybody's got the date that the Houston Astros come to town.
Oh,
this
my goodness.
This is going to be an interesting...
If I was a Houston Astros team, I think I'd cancel my season.
They are just
looking like clowns now.
And then, you know, the commissioner of baseball has turned the Houston players into victims. They're going to have to live with this for the rest of their lives. Everybody's going to ask them the question.
For those of you that don't know, not sports bugs or whatever, they have now been... basically found out they've been stealing signs and relaying them to their batters. What were they doing? They were using cameras, right?
They had a camera. Every team has a camera in the outfield. Every team. But you can't use it to steal signs. They were doing that. And then they had some communication. And there's still, I want to know about Altuve of the Houston Astros. Did he have a buzzer?
Who's he?
He's the guy that hit the walk-off home run against the Yankees.
Okay.
Sent him into the World Series. Whether he had a buzzer under his shirt.
A buzzer?
A buzzer. Because when he rounded third base, he told his teammates, don't rip off my shirt. Don't rip off my shirt. And he actually, you can't see on radio, but he actually went into home plate with his both hands around his collar. and kept yelling, "Don't rip off my shirt."
How interesting that is. Wow. Thank you, Ed. Thank you so much. We're going to do our top 10. And by the way, Ed, to be honest, this is only the top 9. I couldn't find a 10th.
Okay. Well, we're in short
time. But it's the top 9 craziest things seized at the Mexican border. And I got it out of Fox News. Are you ready?
Yep.
Number 9. Live tropical fish. Live tropical fish. Customs officials stopped a woman when she arrived off. Actually, this is not at the border. This is actually coming off of a flight from Singapore. So I'm going to stand corrected. But it was coming in, you know, coming through.
Okay, so these are coming into the U.S.?
Coming into the U.S. Okay. I will revise this. Top 9 coming into the U.S. So she gets tropical fish. They found 51 live tropical fish in plastic bags tucked into a custom-made apron tied around her waist. Now, that had to be heavy.
Maybe it was sushi for lunch. Who knows?
My goodness. Number 8. Dead birds for pet food. Customs announced agents in Washington seized a package of dead birds from the luggage of a passenger from China. From China. They were food for his cat. All right. That's all you got to know about that. Number 7. A whole pig's head. A whole pig's head. The beagle, a dog that works as an agricultural detector, discovered this roasted pig's head in Atlanta's Hartsfield Airport. A passenger coming from Ecuador was relieved of his leftovers, and they were destroyed to avoid introducing foot and mouth disease into the country. Wow. Number 6, live song birds. A 56-year-old man arrested for trying to smuggle endangered good luck songbirds into the L.A. airport from Vietnam. Wow. Number 5, black market bologna. CPB officers seized more than 150 pounds of bologna at the port of entry in El Paso, Texas. Number 4, and I saw this picture, man disguised as a car seat. He was stopped at the San Ysidro border in California. He looked like a car seat. And they had covered his head with like the back thing, the back support thing. It was the most interesting thing I've ever seen, but he was caught. Number 3, live tarantulas. A German man pled guilty to shipping hundreds of live tarantulas through the mail. 247 live tarantulas. He shipped them, some of them, to federal agents in L.A. who were posing as buyers. Number 2, Egyptian mummy linen. Officers in Michigan seized 5 jars of ancient Egyptian mummy linen coming illegally through the northern border in 2019. All right, here's number 1. Roll the drums. Live pigeons. Officials stopped a 23-year-old Australian man after they discovered 2 eggs in a vitamin container in his luggage. Under his pant legs, they discovered pigeons wrapped in padded envelopes and secured to his legs with a pair of tights. That's all you want to know about that. Okay. Thanks so much for being with us. We'll be back on Wednesday. Do remember, freedom works.